Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God created man in his own image, and he said, let us make man in our own image. So the Blessed Trinity was completely involved in the creation of man in the image of God. And they were sons of God, and they could call God Father. Now we read in the first few chapters of Genesis where God says, it is not good that man should dwell alone, but I should make a helper meet for him. And God created Eve and brought her unto Adam. And Adam said, this is the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But later on, when sin came into the world, Adam accused his wife that was given to him as a partner and said, the wife that thou had given me to be a companion, she ate of the fruit, and I also partook of the fruit. So in the book of Genesis, we see an emblem of the first Adam and his wife Eve, the tone of accusation. God blessed them, created them, and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God never cursed them. He cursed the serpent, but he never cursed his children. He took the curse upon himself. So we see Adam and his wife, the imperfect combination, accusing each other. And then in the New Testament, we see the second Adam and his wife, the Church of the Living God. No accusation. The time came when Jesus had to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, and the Holy Spirit had to be poured out so God the Father can create a bride for the second Adam. Even as in the Garden of Eden, God said it is not good for man to dwell alone. He also said in the cross of Calvary, it is not good for my son Jesus Christ to dwell alone. And he created the church. The church is the bride, which is why Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. By the death on the cross, by the sacrifice on the cross, by the blood that was shed on the cross, the promise of Abraham was given unto us Gentiles, and we have been exalted to the throne of Almighty God. Because if we call God the Father, our soul and spirit is no more on this earth. Our physical legs might be walking on this planet, but our soul is not here. Therefore, we are sons and daughters of Almighty God, the bride of Christ. We have the authority that was given to us in John chapter 1. So where does all this lead us? We are the bride of Christ. We are the sons of God. We are eternal partners with Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom, and we have been chosen as the bride of Christ to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and to walk with him forever. It is not the 144,000 of the Jews in the book of Revelation that have been chosen to be the bride. The bride has been chosen not just from the Jews, but from every nation and tribe and people and tongues. And we read that in the book of Revelation, the bride with a voice like thunder, even as the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So where does this all lead us to? We are the bride of Christ. We are the sons of God. We call him Father. We stand with Jesus Christ and present ourselves to God the Father in the soul and the spirit, and we worship him. And God tells the angels, these are my sons. And when they worship God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, they cover themselves with their wings. And we are there with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us that all creation is under curse, except we that are created in the image of God, washed by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. Where does this all lead us? Because we are sons of God, bride of Christ. It leads us to the point where we have to focus on our heavenly bridegroom. And when we focus on our heavenly bridegroom and not on our present situation and listen carefully to his word, then God's will be fulfilled. And there will be a great revival in USA and all over the world. Let us read Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, 24, 28, and 29. Jesus told his disciples, "Get into the ship. Let me take care of the people that have listened to my word and send them away. Let me spend time with my Father. You get into the ship and go to the other side." And we see the ship was now caught in the storm. They knew that they were about to die. There was no more hope. They were fishermen. They knew that kind of storm they were in. And then Jesus comes walking on the water, and they thought it was the death angel come to take their soul. They said, "It is over." And they screamed because they didn't want to die. They didn't want to leave their family. They said, "What about Jesus? He said, go to the other side. Why did he send us alone?" And Jesus said, "Relax. It is I. Be not afraid." And there are 12 disciples. Everyone is focusing on the storm. All the other 11 disciples were focusing on the storm, focusing on the boat. What if we die? That's good that Jesus came. But nothing happened. The storm is still there. The boat is still getting rocked. The wind is howling. The waves are roaring. But Peter focused on the face of Jesus. He looked at the face of Jesus, even as it says in Psalm 34, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Today, those who support the Bible have started getting killed in the USA. Yesterday, a man had a Bible verse in front of his shop. An elderly gentleman, a black man, was sitting on his chair, and an unknown person came and shot him. Does this send fear into the hearts of God's children? Of course not. It gives us more power. That blood that was shed yesterday is going to empower the army of God that is going to go all over the US and all over the world, and fire is going to break out from the church of the living God. We will not be deterred. We have been baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and when fire starts, nothing can stop it. Bombs cannot stop it. Nothing can stop it. There is only one thing that can stop fire, and that is water. And that water is from the Holy Spirit. The fire will stop only when the people give their heart to God. The fire starts so that all the husk can be burned and the wheat can be gathered. All the gold can be gathered into the kingdom of God, and all the dross can be burnt. So, killing Christians, killing those who support the flag, killing those who say God bless the USA, killing those who stand for this country, is not going to scare the true children of God. Why? Because there was a dog. It went close to a lion. The lion was taking a nap. The dog started barking at the lion. The lion could care less. The dog came closer and closer and closer to the lion, and it almost tried to bite the lion. And as it came really close and started barking at the lion raised its paw gently and just touched the dog. And the dog got shattered into pieces. This is a vision that a man of God got when he told the Lord, "Lord, why do you wait until the last moment, until Pharaoh had almost gotten us, and we were between him and the deep sea? Why do you wait until the last moment?" And God said, "So when I deliver you and manifest my power, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was I who did it. If I had come and healed Lazarus when he was sick, you would have said, 'Oh yeah, even some of the physicians here could heal him.' But I had to raise him after 4 days from the dead. If all I did was turn that little stick into a snake, you would have said, 'Oh yeah, the magicians in Egypt can also turn sticks into snakes.' But when Pharaoh's son died, the idol worshippers in Egypt went to Pharaoh and said, This is the finger of God.' The time has come for the Church of the Living God to move on the scene through the power of prayer. It has been demonstrated that violence and crime and riots are so severe that even the police cannot contain it. Why? Because these riots were inspired by Lucifer, the prince of the air, that wants to take over this planet. For he sees a great revival and the power of God getting manifested, and he wants to stop it. And so Satan knew what is going to happen if the ship crossed the ocean and went to the other side. The power of God is going to get manifested. Demons are going to get delivered. The power of God is going to be revealed on the other side. And he said, "Well, I have enough problem with Jesus and his disciples on this side of the ocean. I don't want them to get on the other side." 11 disciples. All they cared about was their own lives. "Save me, Jesus. Save me from this storm. Oh, I don't want to die. I haven't even told my family, my kids, my grandchildren. What will I tell them when they see my body floating on the sea? What will they think?" Peter's focus was different. His eyes were on Jesus, not on the storm, not on the ocean. He could care less for what his family thought about him or the people thought about him. He looked at Jesus. His eye met the eye of Jesus. And he told Jesus, "Jesus, I want to be like you. If you can walk on the water and you're my master and my Lord and I'm your bride, I can also walk on the water. But I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be running around doing miracles and healing the sick and raising the dead and chasing the spirits out of people unless you tell me." Yep, it says that in Mark 16:16, doesn't mean that we can be running around to hospitals and nursing homes and funeral homes doing what God did not tell us to do explicitly. Because Jesus sent them explicitly to different places and towns. Even in the Acts of the Apostles, the Spirit of God told them not to go into a certain city, but the Spirit of Jesus told them, "Go to Macedonia." So Peter waited for the mouth of Jesus to speak. He waited for the word. And Jesus said, "Come." He jumped out of the boat. As soon as he heard the word "come," the word of Almighty God, this is the same word that created the universe, the same word that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. and he jumped out of the boat. As he jumped out, he had a strange experience. The water felt like a rock. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. He went to Jesus. He held the hands of Jesus, and they both walked on the rock, which was actually water, defying the laws of Archimedes and all the scientists. And they walked into the boat. And they were amazed at Jesus and Peter. As soon as they entered into the boat, the wind stopped, the waves stopped, everything was quiet. And they went to the other side, and the power of God was manifested. One person who focused on Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and the rest who focused on their troubles. We can go again and again in the Word of God. David, a little boy, filled with the Holy Spirit, hearing the giant defy the armies of the living God, and everybody, including the king of Israel, running from him. And he stood with a sling stone. God told him, "I will give you this giant into your hands. Just like you slew the lion and the bear with your bare hands, this stone will go right into his head." God said to David, "Go!" And David ran towards the giant. The giant ran towards him. We know what happened. The word of God prevailed. David said, "So you may know, Goliath, that God does not deliver with sword and bow, but with the words of Almighty God, whom I trust. Your head will be out from your body, and we will chase you back to where you came from." And they did. The giant fell. The word of God prevailed. Psalm 33 says, "Some trust in horses, some in chariots. They are brought down and fallen." The greatest wars in the Bible were fought with the word of Almighty God. Jehoshaphat, he sang, he praised the Lord. It was a prophecy, it was the word of God. The enemy was conquered even before they finished singing. It is interesting to send a choir into battle, but that's what they did. We have been chosen to focus on Almighty God in the midst of all our situation. Yes, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people heard the word and were saved. They were joined into the church. It was a wonderful time. And then when the lame man was healed, another 5,000 were added the same day. One day was enough for God to manifest his glory. 3 years they preached. Very few souls accepted. One day they preached 3,000. Another day they preached 5,000. 8,000 and two miracles. And then the devil got mad. "If I let them do this, the whole world is going to become Christian. Let's stop them. Call them in." "I want you to stop or we will crucify you." And Peter says, focusing on Jesus, he tells the Sanhedrin and the Roman Empire, "Do you want us to listen to the word of man or the word of Almighty God?" And they went, told the church, they prayed, "Father, we don't care about what they will do. Nothing they can do without thy will. But we pray that your word will be exalted, thy kingdom will come, and you'll give us the power to go forward." And the place where they gathered was shaken. Paul and Silas, they cared less about their situation. They were shackled, they could not move in a terrible situation. What did they do at midnight? they focused on God. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. They could care less for their lives and what their family would think if they were dead. At midnight, they sang praises unto God. They glorified him. They worshipped him. That's why Habakkuk 3:18 says, though the fig tree do not blossom, nor fruit be on them, who cares? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. If I lose 10 goats, I'll get back 100. But I will worship the Lord. He will set me upon my high places. Paul and Silas singing and praising. The other prisoners thought they were nuts until there was an earthquake. And everyone's bands were loosened. And God had determined through the praises of Paul and Silas that the church would be formed. The Philippian jailer knelt down. His whole family got baptized. And the church was started in Philippi. And that's why we have the letter of Paul the Apostle to the Philippians. Because two men decided to focus on God's word. John, the beloved, in the Isle of Patmos. There wasn't any food there. That's where they sent the prisoners in the Roman Empire to die. A terrible island full of skeletons and bones and terrible scorpions and poisonous things. But John focused on the word, Jesus Christ. And guess what happened? It was Sunday morning. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he heard a voice saying, come up higher. And he went up. And there he saw God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the 24 elders, and the cherubims and the seraphim saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, worshiping thee. Yesterday I was lying down late in the night and worshiping God and praising him. And I said, Father, look at all the stuff that's happening in USA and all over the world. When will you manifest your power and send a great revival and magnify thy name, that thy kingdom will come down on this planet, that a great revival will take place and all the sheep will come into thy fold? And God showed me a sheep pen with a door. That sheep pen was empty. And as I stood before the door, I heard one word from Jesus. And he said, wait. That's all I heard. As I was looking at the door to the sheepfold, the empty sheepfold, Jesus said, wait. God has time. One day is enough for him to manifest his glory. Our focus should be on Almighty God, not on our situation. Yes, Moses, standing before God Almighty who created the universe. God said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses said, well, you know that ever since I was born, I have stammering lips, I cannot speak. In order to utter a word or a syllable, I have to struggle so much. And if I go like this before Pharaoh, he'll laugh at me. That God sent a guy that couldn't even speak. And God said, who made your mouth? I am telling you, Jehovah. Well, what is your name? Just tell them, I am has sent you. I am that I am. And finally Moses went, but not according to the perfect will of God. If only Moses had gone when God told him, go, and gone to Pharaoh, he wouldn't have suffered all the pain that Aaron and Miriam gave him in the wilderness. God would have healed him. But there was another man, Abraham. God said, go. And he left everything and went and has become the father of faith. When God says, go, when God says, come, all we need is his word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All that we see and feel and touch and know that it is matter. And it is all comprised of atoms and molecules. Nothing existed. Hebrews 13 says, God spoke everything into existence by his word. Joseph was in prison for a few years. Young man, accused because he obeyed God and had his face on God. The Bible says, until the time that his word came, that God's word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Joseph getting exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh wasn't an accident. God's word exalted him. The word. My word shall not come back unto me void. In these days, when God's word is blasphemed, when those who hold on to God's word are killed, as the church of the living God, let us focus on the face of Almighty God and listen to his word and do exactly as he tells us. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and nothing matters except the word. Because heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law, from the word of God, till all be fulfilled. That's why when you take the Bible and walk towards demon-possessed people, they cry and scream and shout because there's someone walking with the word of God in their hands. I have seen that in San Antonio. A demon-possessed woman came to cast a spell to kill. And as she was sitting in the audience, it could have been a man, it could have been a woman, but it was a demon-possessed person, rolling her eyes, the Holy Spirit said, take the Bible and move forward and ask the people around her to hold her because she's going to crash to the floor. And as I took the word of God, she crashed to the, took the Bible and walked towards her and said, in the name of Jesus, and pointed the Bible at her. She crashed to the floor and crawled like a snake. And God said, tell her, this is the last chance. She has to mend her ways and live her life in accordance to the word. If not, I will not cast out the spirit from her anymore. This is her last chance. The word of God is important. It doesn't matter what the Democrats say. It doesn't matter what BLM says. It doesn't matter what the Republicans say. All that matters is what the word of God says. Nebuchadnezzar forgot that. God warned him. He said, if you don't praise God and glorify him, you're going to lose your kingdom temporarily until you realize that God and his word alone is important. He learned it the hard way. Walked on Babylon, walked on his rooftop and said, oh, who cares about what Daniel told me about God and his word? I did it. The word came from the Lord God Almighty. Because thou didst say, I did it. Thou wilt be cast down from your throne, and 7 years shall pass until you acknowledge that it is God and his word alone that can exalt people. And after 7 years, a madman, his beard had grown. He was out in the dust. He lifted up his eyes and said, God, I honor you and your word. And his kingdom was restored back unto him. We have to honor God when he says a word. We have to believe and we have to move forward. Isaiah 45 says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. We fear no one. We fear no devil. We fear no demonic power. Our focus is on God and his word. We are nothing. With Christ, we are heroes. Without him, we are zeros. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the word of God. May God give us the grace to continue to focus on the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, and the only thing that is eternal is the word of God. Even the heaven where God dwells right now, and the earth and everything is going to pass away. And one day only God and his word are going to stand. So let us build our house upon the rock, the word of Almighty God, which is Jesus Christ. Let's carry the Bible. They may shoot us. They may try to kill us. Who cares? If we are chosen to die as martyrs, God will raise us up and the body that was killed for his name. If God decides that we are not going to be martyrs and we are going to be until the coming of Christ and we are going to bring this world on fire by the word and cause a great revival to come, then whatever weapon that is formed against us will not prosper. Why? Because God said it. That is why King David, when people all around him wanted to kill him, cut his head off, do this, do that, and he heard all this discussion, he says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth spoil. He was doing research in the Bible. While they wanted to kill him, he was doing research and research and research until all his enemies got tired of him. Great peace have they that love thy word. In these last days, in the midst of coronavirus, in the midst of all kinds of junk that's going on, riots, calamities, let us focus on the word Jesus Christ. And let us be like Apostle Paul, who was Saul and became Paul. What happened to him? When did he become Paul? When he told Jesus the word, Lord Jesus, so far I lived my life according to my will, but give me thy word. What would you have me to do? And then everything changed. God's word alone is important. God's word alone is exalted above the heavens. It is through God's word that every cell in our body was created. Our brains came into being by the words of Almighty God. The matter and elements and atoms and molecules with which we are comprised of didn't exist until God called them into existence through his word. And since we came into existence by the word of God, let us live by the word of God. Let us be transformed by the word of God. Let us go forward by the word of God and bring this word back to the feet of Jesus. May God bless these words and strengthen us and empower us.